This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime stories. We'll hear first this time from Jeff Regan, investigator. We'll hear The House by the Sea, his story from September 4th, 1948. And it's Crime Does Not Pay and Two Gun Annie, their episode from December 5th, 1950.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon. Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The House by the Sea.
This is the way it started. I walked in the office about 11 o'clock that morning. It was a nice, warm day, and I didn't have much on my mind. That's the trouble with nice days. You take a couple of easy breaths, open somebody's door, and it's just like peeling a wrapper off an atomic bomb. The Lion was in his den, sitting behind his desk. He couldn't tell where he left off, and the desk began. He was talking to a girl with a flock of black hair. She was the kind you see driving a Cadillac convertible down Sunset Boulevard on hot Sunday afternoons. No wonder the Lion's cigar was out. It was wet on both ends.
Well, come in, Regan, come in. I was just about to call you, but now that you're here, it makes things simpler. Miss Carmen, this is Mr. Regan.
How do you do, Mr. Regan? Mr. Lyon tells me you're just the man I want.
He said the same thing to a mortician last week.
He is the man I want, Mr. Lyon.
Well, that's fine, Miss Carmen. I knew you'd be pleased. I'm very proud of Jeffrey.
As long as I'm in the cast, how about a look at the script, huh?
Miss Carmen is associated with the famous psychic consultant, Prince Carew.
I help the prince look into people's minds.
Well, that ought to be real fun if all your customers are under six.
You don't believe in thought transference, Mr. Regan.
Do you?
I said I help the prince.
Prince Carew sent Miss Carmen to retain an operator, Jeffrey. Very delicate matter, and I'm placing the entire case in your hands.
Why didn't he come himself?
Do you disapprove of me?
I just want to know what's what.
Well, Prince Carew never appears in public. He prefers to spend his time in meditation and thought.
Yeah.
I handle all of his outside contacts.
So, Jeffrey, you just drive on out to Prince Carew's home in Oceantown with Miss Carmen and speak to the prince.
What kind of a retainer did he send? How much did you get?
Now, see here, Regan, we don't discuss finances in front of clients.
Oh, stop it, will you? This is another blind spot. You don't know what it's all about. All you know is she waltzed in here with a check, and you'd sell your grandmother to a glue factory for $2. How do I know I won't wind up being a patsy again?
Is there any way I can reassure you?
Buy me a battleship.
Jeffrey, have I ever involved you in anything that I wouldn't undertake myself? Have I ever knowingly imperiled your life?
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
Come on, lady. What's it all about? You work for the guy.
Well, I really don't know. He was excited this morning, called me in, gave me this address, and told me to make arrangements.
He must have told you something.
He never tells me anything. As you say, I just work for him. Well?
All right, I'm hired.
Good. Now call me, Jeffrey. Call me if you run into any trouble.
Well, I asked her, how about lunch? She said no. I asked her about dinner. She said something that meant no, so I gave up. You know, it's like that sometimes. The flag's up, the meter's ticking, and you're not getting anywhere. But from a couple of things she told me, I got the idea she was doing more than just helping the prince read minds. Well, his place turned out to be a good hour from downtown Los Angeles, up 101. It was a couple of stories of glass and concrete leaning out over the ocean. It was high and dry and quiet up there. You got a feeling you should be hearing things and feeling things when you looked down and saw that water banging around the bottom of the cliff. She unlocked the door, and a guy in a white turban and some pants that looked like oversized diapers and a pair of tennis shoes was standing there. He had a big curved knife hanging around his waist, and he put his hand on it when he saw me.
Right this way, Mr. Regan.
Who's he, the butcher?
Oh, that's Telly. He works for the prince. Manservant. He's from India.
Yeah, I'll bet the Indians were glad to get rid of him.
Telly's harmless, tongueless, and he doesn't hear. I like you, Mr. Regan.
Come in, come in. Ah, Thelma, my dear, you've returned with spoils. Welcome, sir, welcome.
Mr. Regan, this is Prince Carew.
Regan, the lion's eye. I've heard of you, Mr. Regan. I'm honored. Sit down. That'll be all, Thelma. Charming girl.
She handle all your outside contacts?
Most efficiently. Except, of course, for matters that I must handle personally.
What kind of matters?
I'm in trouble, Mr. Regan, and I beg your assistance.
Well, it's all paid for.
Correct. But there's a personal bonus in this for you.
Why?
Because, sir, I want you to save my life.
You look healthy to me.
I am healthy, let me assure you. But my life has been threatened.
Well, that'd come under police business, wouldn't it?
Normally. Didn't Miss Carmen explain that this was a delicate matter?
Yeah, she did. Why didn't you call the police?
I'm hardly in a position to ask the police for assistance, Mr. Regan. It is a delicate matter.
Outside it says you're a mind reader, all right? What am I thinking now?
That I'm a charlatan, a faker, and that I'm trying to hide something from you.
That gets you the cigar.
It's been a very lucrative arrangement for the most part and very satisfactory. Except, of course, for the annoyance of having my life threatened.
Who's the guy?
It would be of no consequence if it were a man. It's a lady, Mr. Regan. A very beautiful and lovely creature. And she'd like nothing better than to see my carcass go out with the tide.
Why does she want to kill you?
It's a matter of confidence. Suffice it to say that she is thoroughly capable of doing just that.
How do you know?
One, she is erratic, ill-tempered, ruthless. Two, she called me this morning and told me what she intended to do.
She giving you a chance to reach for your gun?
To reach for you, Mr. Regan.
What do you want me to do?
I feel the entire matter could be settled amicably if you were to call on her. Inform her that you are my personal bodyguard and that you are here to protect my life.
You think she'd go for that?
I'm positive.
How long have you been blackmailing her?
What?
Your racket might last 6 months or a year, but not long enough to pay for a place like this. The answer's blackmail, isn't it?
Okay. I should have told you.
How do you do it?
Well, I can slip him into a trance. They spill a family secret or two. I push a buck that way.
That's nice.
You want the minds read? I read them. $25 a brain.
And shake them.
A guy's got to eat.
You put the squeeze on her.
She's an actress. She was in on a deal at the studios.
She wouldn't shake?
At first, I just told her I had to have a larger fee. Then they come out with it, cold turkey.
And she said she'd blow your head off.
Yeah, she's the kind. I went wrong on this one. I'm in a spot.
Who is she?
Grace Nichols, movie actress. Ever heard of her?
Redhead.
Makes you want to go home and kick your wife downstairs if you got one.
That good?
Better. But she means this business about pumping me. And I won't look good dead.
All right, where's she live?
Over in the Palisades. Here's her address. You going over there now?
Yeah.
Be careful.
She isn't gunning for me.
That isn't what I mean. There's a skinny boy there. He's nasty. No callers. Name of Tim Rogers.
I'll remember that.
I hope you can talk her out of it. I've been sweating. I don't want to shake her down. I just want to get a little sleep at night.
I left him sitting there, scratching his bald head under his turban. He looked about as happy as a guy who just ate a Vaseline sandwich. Well, Grace's place was too big for a marble game and too small for football. I think I remember reading something about how she got it from her third husband. There was a big wire fence all around it and a sign every 15 or 20 feet telling you not to trespass. So I parked my car outside the driveway and walked up to the front door. The guy in a chauffeur's uniform was standing there. He looked like a razor blade with arms. He gave me the fisheye and blew smoke in my face and kind of nudged me with his shoulder.
Move on, Pilgrim. No handouts here.
I came to see Grace Nichols.
Yeah.
I got business with her.
Yeah.
So tell her I'm here.
Blow.
You always like this, or did you miss lunch today?
I don't know who you are, Pilgrim, but I don't like you. Beat it.
I know you. There's something about a guy in a lineup.
Yeah?
He memorizes real easy.
Copper.
Investigator.
Private or city, I don't care. You all smell the same.
This isn't hunting season. You always carry a .38?
Does it show?
Maybe you got a broken rib.
A real funny guy. I met all kinds of funny guys.
Tripped. I said I wanted to see her.
And I said she wasn't in.
All right, I'll tell you once more. I got business with it.
So do a couple of hundred other guys.
Watchdog?
Now you're getting smart.
You weren't.
What kind of a crack is that?
I want to see her, I'm going to see her.
Trick I learned a long time ago. shoot a guy in the knee and he'll never walk straight again.
You ever done it?
Oh, yes. That's how I learned.
That's one I learned, baby.
Well, I might have to get a new sofa. You looking for a job?
I already got one, lady.
Timmy's going to be awfully upset when he finds out what happened to him. When someone works for me, they have to be perfect. Want his job?
They wouldn't let me in.
I'll let you in. You, do that kind of thing often?
When I have to.
I suppose you have a name.
It's Regan. I'm a private investigator.
All right, Mr. Regan, you've earned a perfectly good chauffeur and bodyguard, and you're in my house. What have we got to talk about?
A guy named Carew.
The prince? Must we talk about him?
He thinks you're dangerous stuff.
So do a lot of people. Tell me, Mr. Regan, what do you think?
About what?
Me.
Right now or when I'm a couple of feet away?
Right now.
Look, remember, I just got here.
I know. You must have a first name. What is it?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, we'll get along. It's in the cards.
Pretty fast deal.
I like it this way. Fast.
Might be a bum deck.
Never mind. Deal.
That's the bell. How much time between rounds?
Well, you know me better. Hello? Yes? Yes, right here. You know a man named Lion, Jeff?
Uh-huh.
He seems to be roaring.
Give it to me. Yeah?
Regan, is that you?
Well, now, how do you figure it?
Now, don't be smart. Who's the dame who answered the phone?
Our client's friend.
Sounds like she's a friend of yours now, or maybe you have been doing some road work.
Did you have something to say, or is this the day you turn scoutmaster? I'm busy.
Well, you can stop being busy, lover. It's all off.
Don't tell me you're passing up a fee.
I'm passing up nothing. Prince Carew called me 10 minutes ago and told me to forget the whole thing, and that's what I'm telling you.
How'd you know I was here?
The prince told me, so it's all over. Finished. Forget it.
I've already started something.
I don't care what you've started. Now, just remember, you finish it on your own time and expense sheet.
You look worried, Jeff. Anything I can do?
I'm called off.
You mean you're out of a job? I got one. Remember, you put my bodyguard out of commission. You owe me something.
Oh, Tim, boy, he'll come around.
I don't want Tim anymore. I want you.
Oh.
I'll get you a drink. We can talk about it.
Carew told me that Tim was a pretty good boy.
You can fill his shoes. Come here and get your drink. Now, tell me about 9 o'clock tonight.
We get dark.
I got a new dress. I think you'll like it.
I probably would.
At the place above Malibu, we could have dinner and listen to some music. I want to be with you, Jeff.
That deal's fast again.
I don't care. I don't care. I just decided something, Jeff. I'm going to like being with you. I'm going to like it a lot.
Well, she didn't want me to go. But I was thinking about the prince and the way everything looked. I told her I'd see her that night. I was just climbing into my car when Tim Rogers, her ex-number one boy, stepped out from the gate. I waited for him to walk over.
Pretty good with your women, Regan.
You look lonely, Timmy. Somebody stole your popsicle?
Bum joke, Regan. I've been waiting to talk to you. You were so quiet in the house, I didn't want to make any noise.
Any better here?
You came out champ this afternoon. But you won't even make the prelims next time.
You got something to say?
Stay away from her.
You're shaking. You need a drink.
Stay away from her, Regan. I've been with her too long. Known her too long to take the bounce from a two-bit gum heel.
Goodbye.
I'm not finished yet.
That's your version. Now get your foot off that running board, punker. I'll take it with me. I left him standing in the middle of the driveway. If I'd have waited another minute, he'd have been crying. I stopped off and had some barbecued ribs at a drive-in out on Sunset. It was just getting dark when I got to my place. I had company. It was Velma Carmen, Prince Carew's right-hand man. She was sitting on the edge of my sofa. Her back was as stiff as a filing cabinet, and there was a little ring of white around her lips. She looked like she'd just been measured for a coffin. There was a .25 automatic sitting in her lap.
I've been waiting for you, Mr. Rick. I asked the janitor to let me in.
Yeah?
He's very nice about it. I told him I was associated with one of your clients. Yes, I told him I was associated with one of your clients. Did you know that Prince Carew was my husband?
Since when?
Oh, a long time now, a long time. Not many people know that.
Is that what you came here to tell me?
No. I came to tell you that you don't have to worry anymore. None of us have to worry anymore.
You mean you're calling me off the case?
That's it. That's exactly it. I'm calling you off the case.
Well, I've already been called off. My office phoned me when I was over at her house.
Grace Nichols?
Yeah.
Then it was about her?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, then, we don't have to worry anymore, do we?
Nope.
She's very pretty, isn't she? I've seen her many times. I think she's quite pretty. I could hardly blame the prince. I could hardly blame him at all.
What are you getting at?
Of course, all the others were pretty, too.
Where'd you get that gun?
This. I bought it for $30.
Let me see it, huh?
Oh, yes. I brought it here so I could show it to you. I paid $30 for it. I paid $30. I'd imagine the air would be cleaner in there, don't you?
What are you talking about?
I mean, it's really very humane, they tell me. It's just like sitting down and never waking up. I read all about it. You just walk in and sit down, and if you don't try to hold your breath, you go to sleep, don't you? You've met murderers before, Mr. Regan. Do I make a good murderer? Do I make a good murderer?
Stop it. Stop it, will you? You trying to tell me you killed him?
Oh, Mr. Regan, that's why I came here. I shot him. I walked up behind him and I put the gun close to his back and pulled the trigger. He don't make such a great deal of noise, do you think? I left him sitting there in his house by the sea and he looks very much alive. Only he isn't alive at all. Now answer me. Now answer me. Do I make a good murderer? Do I make a good murderer?
Listening to the story of the House by the Sea, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. They're still available for qualified nurses. Yes, the Army Nurse Corps Reserve still has commissions available. If you are a graduate registered nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps section of the Regular Officers Reserve. To find out if you do qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to the story of the House by the Sea and Jeff Regan, investigator.
After she got through, she settled down to a slow, even kind of a giggle that started somewhere around her shoelaces and didn't get past her knees. It was one of those things that gives you a feeling like somebody's standing in back of you with a red-hot iron ready to press your pants before you get them off. Now, she wasn't going to do any more talking, so I went downstairs and brought back a doctor friend of mine named Sammy Wing. He brought his little black bag with him and gave her a shot of something. She wilted like last night's orchid and went to sleep on my couch. Sammy began talking.
Some playmate. Wish I'd have been here for the party. I had 4 appendectomies and 1 broken leg today. So dull alive.
Well, how is she?
You know her better than me.
No, she's going to be all right.
Well, she'll wake up in 5 or 6 hours. I want some water.
And then what?
She might ask you what happened, or it might start all over again, whatever it was. By the way, what was it?
Well, I found her here when I got home.
I should find something like this.
She said she killed an ex-client of mine.
Oh, maybe I'm lucky at that. What does all the past tense mean?
I was called off the case.
Oh, nice. It's all clean, no clients to protect. Is there a corpse someplace?
I don't know, Sammy.
Call the police, they find out. And then you and me can go out and get a drink.
She said she used this gun. Smell it, Sammy. It hasn't been fired. Safety catch is still on.
She's pretty and she's nice, and I'll bet she looks like $1 million in a bathing suit. But if I'd have met her within the last 3 hours, I'd have run for help. Call the police.
Is that professional?
This is acute hysteria. The kind that pops off guns and pops off people, and there's a lot of things they can't remember later on. Call the police.
What about the gun?
Other guns. Call the coroner while you're at it. Tell him to go out there with some DOA forms. He'll use them.
Will you stay here with her till I get back?
Corpse hunt?
Just an idea.
Hitler had an idea.
The odds were against him.
You got about as much chance as a three-legged horse in the Kentucky Derby. She's bit somebody, and she's told you about it.
I want to make sure.
What do they do when a private eye walks in and messes up a nice clean murder?
Sammy, will you stay?
Got any bourbon around here?
Yeah.
Okay, take your time. Maybe both of us will get our pictures in the paper.
I left him with a kind of a soft smile on his face, like he had some inside information on Tuesday's winner at Del Mar. Well, it was 9:30 by the time I got there, and it was dark enough to give a ghost a creep. It was different, too. Maybe it was the fog. I used that ring of keys I'd taken from her purse. It smelled dry and funny inside, and it was real quiet, like somebody was waiting for the world to fall apart. I clicked on my flashlight, and I walked down the long hall to his office. He was there, just like she said. There were three holes in the front of his shirt, but it wasn't the laundry's fault. I spotted the .38 on the floor by his hand. I broke it, and three cartridges came out. It was the right gun for the job. He was pretty messed up. While I was standing there trying to figure Velma Carmen's story, the lights came on. A fat man wearing a sheriff's star was standing by the switch. There was a taller man in a brown overcoat next to him. They both looked like they'd just finished dinner.
Scavenger hot, son? You don't talk, Charlie.
Ain't much fun to say, is there, Cap?
Guess not. Well, son?
Well, it looks like you're going to be calling me names.
What do you like best? Killer, murderer, or slayer? The papers use slayer a lot.
I don't like any of them.
Kind of breezy for a hot boy, ain't you? Mind giving me a name?
It's Regan. I'm a private detective.
It's Regan. He's a private detective, Kent.
Yeah. Got a card or something with you, son?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right. With International. Lion still there?
Yep.
Who's that?
An old bum I used to know. Regan, why do you go around killing people? The lion will be mad.
Look, this is a fix.
Now, why do you want to say a thing like that?
Somebody tip you?
Phone call a little while ago.
Huh?
Funny kind of a voice, a whisper. Said we'd find a stiff up here, but didn't say we'd find you.
You're extra.
Look, I just came here to see what it was all about.
Same thing we did. Only we come up with a suspect and a corpse. No cop could ask for anything better. Charlie, better call a coroner. Ocean Town's just a small place, Regan. Only me and Charlie around. We borrow from the county when we get something like this.
I can find you a real answer in an hour.
You let me and Charlie worry about that. You look good enough for the time being. All right, son. Let's go.
I had as much chance as an elephant in a tea room, and if those two locked me up and booked me... So I leaned back into his gun and spun around and knocked his wrist down. He pulled the trigger, so that time I flicked the light switch and was out the door. I didn't run for my car. I cut across the driveway and doubled back up the hill. I could hear him yelling and shooting out in the dark. I hailed a cab about five blocks away, and he took me to the place above Malibu. I found her in a booth with a piano player. She was wearing one of those black strapless things, and it was worrying a couple of bald-headed guys sitting at the bar.
You're late, Jeff. We said 9 o'clock. I had three drinks all alone. You want me to get mad or are you going to catch up?
How long you been here?
You sound like you're out of the mood. I thought we were going to look at the stars together.
How long you been here?
It's 9 o'clock. What's the matter?
I've been working tonight.
Well, it's after hours now. Tell me how you like my new dress.
It's the right color but the wrong cut for a funeral.
I haven't read the obituaries today.
It'll be in tomorrow's paper, only it'll make the front page.
Have a drink. Let's wait for tomorrow.
Your friend was killed tonight.
What friend?
Carew.
He was no friend of mine, I told you that.
So did he.
Car smash up, or did he fall off his house?
38.
We didn't talk about him this afternoon. Let's not start now.
Look, two cops in Ocean Town are kind of crowding me. They think I'm going to take a good picture.
Is that why you're late?
It's a murder rap, lady.
We should have had dinner together.
They'll be knocking down your door in the morning.
Why, darling?
Because you threatened to kill him, because he hired me to call you off.
Now, wait a moment, Jeff. You've been having fun up to now. Who told you that?
Why do you think he sent me over today to sell magazines?
I never found out you were called off. I suppose he hired you to scare me. Jeff, we're old friends now. I can tell you a family secret.
I know about him blackmailing you. And that put you ahead of me for the cops. Did you do it?
I don't know. Did you? What he told you don't sound right.
What does sound right?
I went to him one day and put him in a trance. Only I used Scotch. Found out what he was doing and how I was doing it, so I turned the tables. It was good, clean fun, but expensive for him.
You've been draining him?
I thought that's why you came today. That's why I had Timmy around.
Well, some of this is beginning to make change. If he was your meal ticket, then you got an alibi.
I don't feel like stars anymore, Jeff. Let's go over to my place and talk.
On the way over, she didn't have much to say, and I couldn't think of anything. I was all too mixed up. If she'd really been shaking him down, then she figured out. And the girl back in my apartment figured in. Only she had the wrong gun. And then there was a little business that I'd have to explain with the Oceantown cops. Well, when we turned in the driveway, I stopped figuring. Tim Rogers, the man with the guns, was there, standing on the porch.
Hello, gorgeous. I've been waiting to see you. You're home late.
I thought I fired you.
Still tramping with this tramp, huh? I thought you'd be sick of him by now.
For once, I'm glad to see you, Tim boy.
That sounds cozy, but I don't want to see you.
I know where your 38 is.
You're wrong. It's her 38. And it's got her prints on it.
Jeff, he's making it look bad for me.
Ask me. Ask him what he's doing here, will you?
Just in for a showdown, Angel. You're tagged for his murder. They'll want you. I fixed it good. I can fix it so you can get away.
How?
A friend of mine shutting off at Pedro. 4 o'clock. To go all over the world.
Yes, if all of this is straight, I'm in a spot.
Relax. This guy never did anything right.
Tell me how I'm wrong.
All right, that tip to the Oceantown cops was wrong. Trying to pile up a scare on me was wrong. Killing Cairo was wrong, and this clinches it.
Yeah? Well, that's where you're twisted, Pilgrim. I got a warrant out for you right now. Plugging a murder suspect is something they'll thank me for.
You said her prints were on that gun.
They'll find that out in the morning. And how was I to know? Just happened to hear on the radio they were looking for you tonight. I see you. I plug you. Everybody will be sorry, but it'll be manslaughter and suspended. I worked it once in Toledo. What do you say, Angel? Do I plug him and meet you somewhere in 2 weeks?
Let me have a smoke. Let me think it over.
Sure. Sure, go ahead.
You're Angel.
Well, the gun's empty now.
I carried this for 3 years. I never used it. He deserved to die, didn't he? Didn't he, Regan, didn't he?
I don't know, lady. You knew him better. Well, it unwound like red thread in the Levi factory. Grace Nichols had been putting the shake on the prints. He got tired of it and called me in and told me his phony stories so he'd have a good self-defense angle when he finally got around to shooting her some afternoon. He had Tim planted there to keep me from really seeing her. Oh, it was a nice idea, only I bounced Tim and got inside. And then Tim made a phone call and the lion jerked me before I had a chance to compare notes with her. I guess Tim went kind of crazy seeing how well we got along together, and he figured Grace would do anything if she was wanted for murder. So, he killed the prince and made her the patsy with those fingerprints. She'd handled the gun before, see. But then I had my caller, Velma Carmen, the prince's wife. She went kind of crazy, too, when she walked in and found him dead. It took 3 doctors a couple of weeks to tell her what really happened. When I told it all to the lion, he was mad at first, but then he saw Grace Nichols' picture in the paper. He asked just one question. What was I doing at Grace's place all afternoon? I didn't even bother to answer him.
Jack West is featured as Jeff Regan with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS same time next week for Hard-Boiled Action and Mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by E. Jack Newman, produced by Sterling Tracy. The role of Grace Nichols was played by Betty Lou Gerson, David Ellis was Tim Rogers, Lorene Tuttle was Velma Carmen, and Marvin Miller was Prince Carew. 29,000 nurses are needed to join the new Army Nurse Corps Officers Reserve. 4,000 of them, if they wish, may choose active duty. All nurses who receive reserve commissions will benefit from the opportunity for specialized training offered to them by the Army. The educational opportunities offered the nurse by the Army Medical Department will be of great advantage to her in her work. Don't wait. If you're a registered graduate nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, drop a card now for complete information to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Original music for the this program is by Dick Arant. Jeff Regan, Investigator, is heard every Saturday at 9:30 over CBS. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Remember, friends, during the week when you ask for Avalon cigarettes,
don't forget your change.
So why not always Avalon with Avalon?
Yes, you'd never guess, but Avalon's cost only 10 cents plus city or state tax. Ladies and gentlemen, Red Skelton will appear at the Chicago Theater starting next Friday, along with John Bowles and Basil Pitt. And Red will be back with us next Saturday evening at the same time when the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation will again present Avalon Time. Del King speaking. Good night. Avalon Time has come to you from our Chicago studio. An apple for the teacher is from the production of Star Maker.
Crime does not pay.
Nice going, Annie. Very nice. You're terrific.
It's easy with a rifle, Frank. Here, watch. Anyhow, tin cans on a fence don't move.
Moving targets, huh, Annie?
Yeah.
All right, now look what I rigged up yesterday.
What?
You see, here, look. You pull the rope here. Right?
Yeah.
And way off there, a can swings like a pendulum.
Hey, that's better. Okay, let's see. There's nothing to it.
So your folks must have named you for Annie Oakley.
Like I said, Frankie, with a rifle, it's a cinch. Watch me with a pistol now. Okay, start the can swinging.
Yeah, yeah, check.
Here I go. One and two and... How am I doing, boy?
Oh, baby, you are a genius with a gun. Another couple of weeks and we'll be going places.
Weeks? What's the matter with right now? If I can hit tin cans at this distance, a guard at a bank ought to be easy as the side of a barn.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Two Gun Annie, starring Joan Loring. Now, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Joan Loring as Ann Armistead in Two Gun Annie. It was strange somehow, at least to those who knew her. Ann was a small girl, light brown hair, nice features, a pretty girl. More, Ann had every advantage of a decent upbringing and a nice home. Her father, Martin Armistead, widowed when Ann was quite young, was a school teacher. Respectability was the keynote of his life and of Ann's. All of which made it seem hardly within the realm of possibility that her father should have trouble with Ann. Still, the trouble came to the point where the father faced his daughter in the living room and spoke to her in no uncertain terms.
It's beyond my comprehension, Ann. I know what you've been up to, but I can't believe it. I just
can't... What do you know I've been up to, Dad?
You were involved with the hot rods on the road Saturday night. You were at the roadside rest until after 2 a.m.
So what? What if I was? And how do you know this anyway? Did you see me?
One question at a time, Ann. I know because Joe Barlow saw you from his prowl car and came to me about it.
Joe Barlow should mind his own business.
It is his business, Ann. He's a policeman. I never thought you would be a policeman's business, Ann.
So we were speeding. We weren't risking anybody's neck but our own. There wasn't another car on the road.
Stop it, Ann. You're a senior at high school. You know better. Even if you haven't any sense of responsibility, you ought to know
I don't want any sense of responsibility. I want to have some fun.
Do you call it having fun when you put me to shame before the whole town?
Let the town mind its own business.
Perhaps when a teacher can't control his own child, it is the town's business. It may follow from that he can't control other people's children, even in the classroom.
Oh, cut it out, Dad. You can't get around me that way, and you know it.
What do I have to do with you, Anne? Lock you in your room?
Try it and see what happens. I'll be 18 in a month. You'll lose me as an income tax deduction man.
Anne, I order you to stop your present behavior.
Save it, Dad. You're just talking.
Oh, am I? Well, then you listen, young lady. I've done my best for you since your mother died. You've never wanted for anything. You've had plenty of freedom. Maybe I should have seen to it that you were taught more self-control. I don't know. But I'll tell you this.
Oh.
I know you're a leader among the crowd that drives these jalopies and raises General Ned around town. And if you don't quit them now, I'll turn you over to Joe Barlow myself the day you're 18.
All finished, Dad?
In more ways than one.
Okay. Then I'm going out. Got a date with Frankie.
I warn you,
Dad. Save it, Dad. You said your piece, now I'll say mine. Before I give you or anybody a chance to turn me in, I'll leave this one-horse town forever. Take it or leave it, Dad. I'm sick of it, Frankie. I just won't take any more. I won't. I won't.
Well, what do you think? You think I like this town? Or what I'm doing, Annie Pie? Jerking sodas for a bunch of kids in jeans? Great for excitement, I don't think.
What brought you here in the first place, then?
The railroad. This was as far from hometown as my dough would take me.
Well, you've been making money. Why do you stick?
On account of a little babe with light brown hair who was afraid of nothing. Not even of me.
Afraid of you, Frankie? You're the only man in town.
You can say that again.
Hey, how fast did we go last night?
Last night I went 65. Now, what'll you bet I can get her up to 70?
Go on, try it. You think she'll hold together?
I tightened the bailing wire this morning. Ready now? Hold on, baby. Here we go.
Wow. Frankie. Wait. Keep her going.
Down to the floor.
Frankie, this is great. It's the fastest you've ever gone.
Put your head out the window.
Oh. Oh, Frankie.
How about that, huh?
Oh, this is great.
Oh, shut the radiator. Couldn't take it.
But the needle went to 72. It
72,
was wonderful,
huh?
Right? Yeah, it was just wonderful. Boy, when we roll like that, it's out of this world. Oh.
Well, you sure like speed, don't you, Annie Pye?
I like anything that'll get me out of this jump and far, far away. Oh, Frankie, I'm so bored. I'm so darn bored. Except when we do things like that.
Now, honey, take it easy, huh? Now, just settle down for a minute, because I want to talk to you.
Now you sound like my father.
I don't feel like your father.
You don't act like him. Oh, Frankie.
Do you mean it, baby, about getting out of this town?
Like I never meant anything in my whole life. I want to get away. Get to a big city, maybe. Get my hands on some dough, real money.
How's your patience, Anne?
Patience? What for?
Bowie, we might have to take more of this before we could really get away.
Hey, you sound like you had a plan.
I have. Now listen, I could go back home.
Yeah?
Tell the family I came back because I'm married and broke. They'd give me the money to send for you. That'd be the first step.
Yeah?
After that, we could go on and we could plan. We could make real plans. You and me together, Annie Pye, we could go places.
All right, Frankie. I'll be 18 next month. I'll be on my own. Send for me then, Frankie. And I'll take the first train going your way.
Look terrific.
I feel terrific. I'm here.
What about your old man?
Oh, I had chatted out with him, told him I was going bye-bye. He didn't say much, just looked sad around the edges.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm free, Frankie. Where do we go from here?
Oh, we go to my folks' place. For a while, anyway. Hey. Here. Put this on.
A wedding ring?
Yeah, check. I told him you're my wife. Next couple of days, if we have time, we can drive over to a justice and make it legal, huh?
Frankie.
Now, come on. Come on, Annie Pie. The jalopy's wasted. Time's a waste, and we got things to do, you and me.
Watch this, Frankie. See if I'm a good student when you're the teacher.
Uh-huh. Hey, nice going, Annie. Very nice. You're terrific.
It's easy with a rifle, Frank. Watch. Anyhow, tin cans on a fence don't move.
Moving targets, Annie. All right. Now, look what I rigged up yesterday.
Yeah.
You see here, look. You pull the rope here, see?
Yeah.
And way off there, see? A can swings like a pendulum.
Hey, that's better. Okay. Let's see. Oh, there's nothing to it.
Sister, your folks must have named you for Annie Oakley.
Like I said, Frankie, with a rifle, it's a cinch. Okay, watch me with a pistol now. Okay. Start the can swing.
Yeah. Check.
Here I go.
Huh?
One, two, and... How am I doing,
boy? You're a genius with a gun, baby. Another couple of weeks and we'll be going places.
Weeks? Well, what's the matter with right now? If I can hit tin cans at this distance, a guard at a bank ought to be as easy as the side of the barn.
Why, Ann, whatever. Where are you two going this time of morning?
We're going hunting, Mom. Deer season opens today.
Well, the slacks are all right, Ann, but... Well, I must say you look like a boy with that baseball cap and all.
That's the idea, Mom.
Now, why would a young man want his wife to look like a boy?
Well, the fellas might kid me too much. You know, who takes his wife along, honey?
You do, darling.
Don't I, though?
Both of you be careful. More people get killed in accidents. Here, Ann, wear this.
Your red scarf? But, Ma, when's
the... Then nobody will mistake you for an animal. There. Red goes well with your coloring.
Let's go, Annie Pie.
No breakfast?
Oh, we'll be all right. We're going through town. Frank says the hunting is better over in that direction. Don't you, Frankie?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, goodbye, Mom. Don't worry. We're going to be fine. All right, shut up, everybody. Shut up. Shut up now, do you hear me? First man opens his mouth, gets it. You see my partner's guns? He's got an itchy finger. Now keep him covered, kid, while I get the cash.
You bet, fella. We said don't move. Shut up, lady. You're not hurt. Shut up, everybody.
All right, kid. I got all the cash. Let's go.
Boy, there should be a run on this bank this afternoon.
Started.
Yeah.
Quick, before they turn on the alarm.
Okay. How much you think we got, Annie Fry?
We'll count it later. Good hunting, though. Hey, you think they knew?
No, not a chance. Hey, there goes the alarm.
Keep driving. I'll watch behind. Let me get rid of your Ma's red scarf. They'll be describing it all over in half an hour.
But we'll be out of the state.
Hey, Frankie, police car taking off after us.
That was fast.
Slow down a minute.
Slow down.
Do as I say. They can catch us anyway. They got souped up motors. Good. Hold steady now. Don't spoil my aim.
And don't kill anybody.
You think I'm crazy? I just want to... Oh, I missed. Both hands. One more try. They're getting closer.
Shooting at us.
Well, did you think they wouldn't? Hold everything, Frankie. I can't miss this time. Hey, I got him. Right front tire. Blew right off the rim. Speed up, Frankie. We're in the clear. Now they'll never catch us.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Two Gun Annie.
Thank you.
we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Joan Loring as Ann Armistead in Two Gun Annie. They made it that first time. They made it completely. The police car, its tires shot out by Ann's marksmanship, abandoned the chase. Ann and Frankie drove into the next state, to the outskirts of a big city. There, excited, tired, they left their jalopy well hidden in a small wood, but not before Ann had exchanged her boy's attire for a sweater and skirt. Then they walked into the heart of the city, found a furnished room, and settled down. A week passed. The excitement began to disappear. Another week, and another. By the end of the month, with pursuit apparently a thing of the past, Ann and Frank ventured into the streets in daylight as well as at night. Late one afternoon, in a quiet residential neighborhood.
Frankie?
Yeah?
How much do we have left? Of the money, I mean.
Enough.
Oh, now you bought me clothes. We've been to nightclubs. How much is left?
Well, you counted it with me. You know how much we had in the first place.
Oh, I see. We're almost broke, huh?
Yeah, check, Annie Pie.
We better start thinking about getting some more.
Oh, we'll need a car for that.
Well, that should be pretty easy. Only this time, no jalopy, a real car.
Why not a heap?
A real car doesn't sway. Not as much, anyway. I don't want to waste bullets like the last
time. Annie Pie, you're terrific.
Thanks, Frankie.
Any special kind of car you're thinking of?
Yeah, a heavy one.
Heavy?
Yeah, see, like that sedan over there.
Yeah. Looks like there's plenty of speed under that hood, huh?
Yeah. I wonder... Come on, Frankie.
Now what?
Neighborhood like this, people have a tendency to get careless a little. Oh, they sure do. Look.
Yeah, I see the keys.
Hanging right in the lock on the dashboard.
Hmm?
Oh, it's practically an invitation.
It isn't it, though?
Do we?
We do. It's a keen job, this one, huh?
You can say that again.
Where to, madame?
The house, Franklin.
The house?
There's certain equipment we don't want to leave behind, including the firearms. And the young gentleman's outfit that fits me so well.
Gas, sir? How many gallons?
5 will do it, mister.
Will you turn off your ignition, please?
Sorry, mister. As you can see, it's not your gas we're after.
Mister, tell the boy to put that gun away.
Why, when I told him to take it out in the first place? I do like the kid says, see?
Well, there's not much in the register. Please don't...
Get moving. If it's not in the register, it's someplace. Filling station big as this always has plenty of dough around on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. What may we do for you?
We want a room. What have you got?
Well, sir...
We've driven a long way today. Anything with a bath will do.
Sorry, ma'am. There's nothing left with that.
Well, how much without?
There's nothing left without either, sir.
Did you hear that, dear?
I heard. Not very hospitable, is he?
No. Now, don't you think you could be more accommodating if you were in his place, dear?
Oh, I know I could.
Now, see here.
You see here.
A gun.
2 of them. And they talk loud if they have to.
You want to know what they say?
Yes, sir.
They say, get into the office. My wife will mind the desk for you. Go on, get back into the office with me. Open the safe. Where are a couple of guests you're going to pay to get to leave? Lots of power under that hood. Oh, I'd love to let her out.
But you won't. Not past the limit yet. No traffic cops this trip.
Check. Annie Pye, did you ever see a scared rabbit like that hotel clerk?
What a waste of time. $500 in the safe, and look at the chances we took.
Well, chances are part of this business, Annie Pye. It's like the big businessmen say, the calculated risk.
Yeah, sure, but the profit's got to be worth the risk.
A meaning, baby?
That the First National Bank over in White Oak is just begging for a heist.
And we didn't do so good at the first job in a bank.
Because we were green. We didn't figure on the time lock on the boss. This time we're really planning it. This is going to be a real haul.
Not a soul around. Perfect.
8:40, he'll be along any minute.
Cashier?
Right. He opens up, locks the door behind him. A couple of minutes later, his assistant comes in. Same routine. Just like I told you yesterday. Time lock opens the vault at 8:55 sharp. We'll have 5 minutes to clean out the joint.
Watch it, Annie. Here he comes.
Check and double check. Mind if we come in with you, mister?
I'm sorry. The bank isn't open until 9.
Yeah, get in. Shut the door. Your regular routine. This ain't no cat pistol.
Mine neither.
Yes. Yes, of course.
All right, move fast now. Come on, open the cages.
But they are open.
You know what I mean. Pull that switch. I want the alarm off before I clean out the teller's cages.
You know your business, don't you? There you are.
All right, now face to the wall. As soon as your partner comes in, here's what I want you to...
He's at the door.
Yeah. What a surprise he's in for.
Yeah.
Morning, Arthur.
Oh.
You got early customers over against the wall. Go on, move.
Yeah, yes, of course.
All right, Frankie, clean out the cages.
It's an easy 15 grand here in cash, kid.
There'll be more in the vault.
The vault? You can't open it until 11 o'clock.
Save it, Smarty. We know the time lock goes off at 8:55, and you know the combination.
No, Arthur, you can't give it to them.
That'll take care of him for a while. We intend to have that vault open, Mr. Cashier.
And I have every intention of opening it. I don't especially care for a blow like that one. May I help him?
You may not.
He's bleeding badly. A gun barrel is a nasty weapon to hit a man.
Shut up or you'll get it, too.
Already on the vault, kid.
All right, you. Downstairs, the vault.
Certainly. This way.
An obliging punk, isn't he?
Oh, we don't mind. After all, we're insured, you know, and we're a national bank. We have plenty of resources. Only fools like my assistant would argue with loaded revolvers. Isn't that right?
Stop talking. Get the vault open. Open it, you hear, and shut up, or we'll leave you inside it after we clean it out. Get moving now. Fast. What are you doing?
I'm hungry, honey. Coffee and hamburger do good right now. How about you?
Well, I suppose. I'd feel better if we had a few more miles between us and White Oak before we stopped.
Well, they won't expect us to stop this close. You get it?
Uh-huh. Leave the hall in the car?
Yeah, why not? Now, who'd expect to find 15 G's in cash and 25 more in securities in a parked car? Some haul, huh, Annie Pie?
40,000, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Let's go.
Now, tell me, can you figure it, Annie Pie?
What?
With dough lying around like that loose in banks. People taking jobs in joints like this.
I wonder what they do for excitement.
A drive-in movie, I guess. Hit yourself to a stool, Annie Pie.
Hey, that smells good.
Sure.
Maybe
does.
I am hungry.
Morning, folks.
Hi, morning.
Frankly, afternoon, isn't it?
Not so afternoon. what'll it be?
A couple with and coffee.
Any wheat cakes? I'll find out. Here, let me give you the setup. How about some coffee right away?
Good idea.
You come far this morning?
Not too far.
Is that your car out there?
Yeah, smooth, ain't it, huh?
Oh, sure is.
Why do you ask?
Well, youngsters like you usually have jalopies, not big sedans like
that.
Well,
that was my father's. He got a new one. He gave me that one.
You're lucky. Wish I had a father like that. Excuse me, I'll ask the cook about the wheat cakes.
Coffee's good, isn't it, Frankie?
Sure is.
Hello? Hello? Is Sergeant Karowski there? Margaret. No, I'm working this morning. Look, Dave, I think I got him here. The kids who stuck up the bank in White Oak this morning. The FBI called before, gave a description, told us to call you. Their car is a maroon sedan, right year, right make. Only the young one's a girl. She must have been wearing slacks. Okay, I'll try to hold him. Only tell those G-men to hurry, will you? I think she's got a gun in her purse.
What does it take to make fresh wheat cake batter?
Well, cook's very fussy about it, and he was upset because the old stuff was sour.
Take a burger, Ann. Let's get going.
Yeah, tell him to kill the wheat and make me a burger.
Okay, if that's what you want.
Hey, what's up, sister?
All right, you kids. Rachel.
What?
Is this a stick-up?
FBI. That was a national bank in White Oak. We've got your cold, kids, thanks to this lady here.
She kept us here. She phoned the cops and kept us
don't
here.
Don't touch that person.
No, Annie, don't.
Nobody takes me in. Not even my own father could do that.
I'm sorry. It's just your arm. We don't like to shoot kids, but your shooting days are over. You should have been quicker on the draw.
I didn't touch no gun. I didn't.
Frank, you louch, you rotten filthy.
All right, save it, both of you. That assistant cashier, you fractured his skull. He died an hour ago. You're both due for a murder rap. All right, let's get going. The only party who comes out of this ahead is that lady back at the counter. The insurance company posted a reward half an hour ago.
Crime does not pay. Joan Loring, who starred as Ann Armistead in Two Gun Annie, will be back with you in just a moment. Now here in person is Joan Loring.
To me, at least, the story of Ann Armistead and Frank Winfield is a revealing one. Both young people came from good homes. Anna especially seemed to have every opportunity to grow into a fine woman, a good citizen. Still, they went, in the old expression, they went wrong. Where and why? Examination of both their stories gives us one important clue. Both of them felt their lives were dull, that they needed excitement and a chance for adventure. This feeling is part and parcel of youth. But for Anne and Frank, there was no provision for working off that extra steam. There was no program, no plan. There was no guidance for them. The older generation failed them, as it's failing in so many communities across this nation with disastrous results. That's why, in the last analysis, Anne and Frank sought the release which leads only to the final lesson, that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Miss Loring. Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental. This is Bob Williams speaking.
That's Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with more. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at RelicRadio.com. There's also a donate button there as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make this show possible. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.